I think the first point I would like to report from the meeting of the bishops was our continuing anxiety about the equality bill that, as you know, is presently in its parliamentary process. We've got three particular anxieties. One is the scope of the exception for employment for purposes of religion. This bill actually gives a qualifying definition of what it means to be employed for the purposes of religion. And the qualifying definition, in our view, is too narrowly drawn. It is limited to liturgy or the explaining or expounding of doctrine. So it leaves out of its scope those who would properly exercise a pastoral role as their job and those who would exercise representative roles as their job. This is part of a continuing discussion with the government that we're having. Previously, there has been no qualifying definition of employment for purposes of religion. And this, we think, is not just to us, but to all the faiths, a difficult section of the bill. A second concern we have about the bill is the section on public sector equality duty. And there, for bodies in the public sector, there is often a clash of rights. And the bill gives no hint as to how these clash of rights could be resolved. In fact, it seems to be handing it over to guidance by the Equalities and Human Rights Commission. And we don't think that's a good way of going about fashioning legislation that is going to operate in a fair and open manner. And also, the description of those duties is really very specific. Again, we're in dialogue with the government over that. And then the third thing is the way in which the harassment clauses are phrased. Again, which leave, they're a bit vague, they're left to a judgment about what is reasonable. So there's some concerns that are ongoing. But the major issue in terms of public policy that we were looking at was the document issued by the Director of Public Prosecutions as a consultative document regarding the factors that he would take into consideration in coming to a decision as to whether to prosecute a person who has assisted somebody else to commit suicide. And the crucial thing here is, of course, the DPP has been given a very difficult task because he's been asked to frame this guidance within the context of the law in which to assist in a suicide is a crime. And that context of the law has not changed. In fact, it's been considered twice by Parliament in the last 18 months, and twice Parliament has decided not to change the law. This consultation period runs until the 16th of December. We have already asked Catholics to write in to express the concerns that they have about this matter. And yesterday, the bishops formally agreed their response to this consultation, and this will now be presented to the DPP. The key points of our response are these: that the guidance, as it is fashioned, we believe is not strong enough in stating and upholding the position of the law, and it runs the risk of creating expectations that the law is somehow unclear and uncertain, and even suggesting that in certain circumstances, assisting another person to commit suicide is no longer a crime. It could create that perception. Whereas in fact, to assist somebody in committing suicide is a crime and remains a crime. That is not the issue. The issue the DPP has to address is to whether to prosecute or not. The key objections that we have in the detail of the consultative document that he's put out, there are certain categories of situations or people which would incline the DPP no longer to prosecute. And they include cases where the victim of the suicide is disabled or terminally ill, where the victim of the suicide has a record of attempted suicides, or where the victim of the suicide is a spouse, a partner, or a close family member. Now, we think this runs the risk of creating categories of people those categories who are given less protection in the law and therefore run the risk of seeing those categories of people as less worthy of the protection of the law. And we believe that these factors should not figure in the process by which the DPP would make a decision not to prosecute. We are not objecting to the fact that the DPP has discretion not to prosecute, but we believe that in this consultation document, what he is proposing has been too widely drawn. In fact, in our work, we have fashioned an alternative set of guidance that he might like to consider, which we think holds the balance between factors which would assuredly lead to a prosecution and factors which could give rise to a discussion not to prosecute. I would like to say, just in this initial opening presentation of this matter, that our response to the consultation is very close to the Church of England's, and we've been glad to work together with the Church of England on this matter. And it's also similar in all its substantive detail to the response made by Care Not Killing, which, as you will have seen in the papers, is a broad coalition of very eminent people who approach this not from a religious point of view, but more from a legal and a medical point of view. They include people like Baroness Butler Slosh, Lord Carlisle, Professor Sheila Holmes, Lord Mackay, Lord Walton, Baroness Campbell, who is a campaigner for disabled rights. And these people too are expressing the same kind of reservations that we are as well. So that's we can return to, because that, I believe, is probably the most important thing that we have been doing. You can see also on the list of the decisions that we've taken, two items there concerning the Apostolic Constitution Anglicanorum Chaetibus. How's your Latin these days? That means, translated, groups of Anglicans. And you can see the text of what we've decided. The first one is the statement, which is a warm receiving of this constitution and its generosity, coupled with a strong affirmation of our continuing commitment to ecumenical relations as we work for the broader unity of Christians. And this is in particular in relation to the bishops of the Church of England, with whom we have a pattern of regular meetings, and that will continue. But again, we can come back to that if you wish. Another item on that page, you will see that we spent some time reflecting on the recent pilgrimage of the relics of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And you will know that that demonstrated in a very clear manner that within our society, the pulse of a religious faith is still pretty strong. I mean, it is remarkable to think that in a period a little less than 3 days, 98,000 people came through Westminster Cathedral to, as it were, express their faith, and in the context of the witness that St. Thérèse of Lisieux gives to the reality of God, to the love of God, and to the way God works with and accepts our human weaknesses. Then, moving down the page, you will see that we welcomed the Latin Patriarch from Jerusalem to our meeting in Leeds, and he spoke to us of the situation of the Christian community in his area, which includes the whole of Israel, Palestine and Jordan, as well as Cyprus. And so he spoke very movingly, and obviously with great credibility, because that's the reality he lives, of the difficulties faced by Christian communities in those areas, especially Palestinian Christians. And we welcomed an initiative in this country, which Michael represents and we'll speak about later, the creation of a charity called the Friends of the Holy Land. And that is a mechanism whereby people in this country are concerned about the peace of the Holy Land, the peace of that crucial area, the situation in it of the Christian communities, can find a vehicle for action of solidarity with them. And we can come back to that later. I think the only other thing I would like just to speak about briefly, and we can return to it, is the prospect of the visit of Pope Benedict XVI to this country next autumn. We have been assured that it is proper, responsible, and appropriate to get on with a whole pattern of preparation, even though the visit will not be officially confirmed for some time. So we have agreed methods of working whereby we will cooperate with the government, patterns for doing that, patterns for our corporate effort as a bishops' conference, and patterns of cooperation with the bishops of Scotland, because a visit to Scotland is in all probability going to be part of this visit, which is still to be confirmed. So we can come back to that as well.